I am pretty excited this morning. Yeah. We're starting a new series this week, The Vow. Well, The Vows, I should say. Because we're going to be talking about relationships. And we're going to be talking about marital relationships. But if you're not married, that's okay. You're all right. We still love you. And if you're planning on getting married, that's good. But we're going to talk about relationships and what they should look like, what it looks like for us personally. And I'll be explaining a little more details about you going, the vow, what does that even mean? Am I going to be, you know, practicing wedding vows or something? Well, it's a little different than that. But I think that all of us will get something from this. And every week, I'm going to send you an email. And if you don't have email, I'm sorry. But we'll work something out. Maybe we'll get hard copies of the items. I've prepared, there's going to be four, each week, there's going to be 4 weeks. But each week, you're going to have something for each day. This week, we're going to be focusing in on a specific thing. And you'll get that. So you can pray. If you are married, you can pray with your spouse. If you're single, there's some single things to pray. All right? So we're going to be doing that this week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it is a blessing and a privilege to be able to communicate your scriptures. And Father, as we do, Lord, I ask God that you will enable us, Lord, to focus in on what you have for us this morning. I ask God that any distractions, Lord, would be submitted to you. And God, may we be open to what you have. And Lord, just allow us to comprehend you more. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, to really be fulfilled in life, you have to find the one. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever had somebody say to you, I really think I may have found the one. The one. Someone said amen. The one. I mean, I talk to people that are dating and they say, I mean, this girl, she is so cute, and she's got a great personality, and she might be the one. And I go, really? All right, explain why. Well, she's so cute, and she's got a great personality. She might be the one. I say, you just said that. What else is there? Is there more to it? And then there's some that will go, I think I may have found the one, but I don't know. I don't know. I'm a Christian, but I don't know if they are. But they do have a cross tattoo on their arm right there. And maybe that will be okay. And they can be the one. And then someone will say, I can't find the one. I've been looking everywhere, and I cannot find the one. Where is the one? I don't even have the five. I want the one. And why, God, haven't you brought me the one? The right one. Not the wrong one, but the right one. The one. The one. The one. I want to find the one. And I think we've gotten confused. Quite confused at who the one is. I'm going to share some statistics with you, and these statistics may be eye-popping, mind-boggling to you. Nearly 70% of married men and 60% of married women have affairs. You may say, that's not true. That can't be true. In the U.S., less than half of couples who marry will stay married 15 years. Every 10 to 13 seconds, another couple divorces. That first one, right there. Hard to take that one. But then how about this one? In the U.S., less than half of couples who marry will stay married 15 years. Less than half of couples will stay married 15 years. If you have children, I want you to imagine this. If there could be a forecast for grizzly bears in your neighborhood that will have the likelihood of your children being eaten, 50% chance that your child will be eaten by a grizzly bear as they go to the school bus this morning, would you do things a little bit differently? Would you maybe not take your child to the school bus and maybe drive them to school? Or maybe put a suit of armor on your child and have a giant sword and maybe a shotgun or something to protect your child, right? If you have a child, if you know a child, if you've seen a child, maybe you can relate to that. How about if someone were to say to you that leaving here, if you drove here, that when you get into your car, there is a 50% chance that you're going to get in a car accident. Do you think you might do things a little different? Like maybe you'll go find the bus, right? Or you'll walk. I mean, there's a 50% chance. Yet with marriages, oftentimes we don't take them as seriously as we should, and we don't make the changes that we need to make in order for the relationship to thrive and become so much more than it could ever, ever be on its own. So this week and the weeks to come, we're going to be wrestling through some things that maybe we haven't really thought about, we haven't really processed, we haven't really implemented in our relationships. And there's some relational priorities that we need to have. And here's a great passage of scripture from Matthew 22, 37 through 39. And you may be familiar with it. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." First and greatest is to love God. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. So, therefore, how does this relate to relationships? Well, God is the one, right? God is the one, and your spouse is the two. A lot of times there's confusion. A lot of times there's God is the one, the children are the two, the spouse is the eight, and we got this, and all in between. But God is the one, your spouse is the two. And I know some of you are going, "I don't even have a spouse. I'm not planning on having a spouse. I don't know if I'm going to have a spouse. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with me right now." So why are we talking about marital relationships? Because it's very, very important. And this particular passage, "You shall have no other gods before me." If God's not one, something else is. And that something else is God, is not God. And whatever that is, we need to step back, evaluate our life, the direction we're going, who we're actually worshiping, what's number one, and say, all right, is this supposed to be number one? I wonder how many of us could say, yeah, God is number one. God is number one. Because ultimately, that's what needs to happen in our relationship with God. He should be number one. And it's hard because we have people that we care about in this life. And those people, we may see them daily. And they may be held in higher regard than God is. And it can happen pretty easy. God's not satisfied with two. He's satisfied with one. There's four vows that we're going to be talking about. And I want to share this particular text. And I'm going to be sharing this all 4 weeks. And I'm going to break it down differently. And I'm going to break down some of the wording for you. But for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. First of the four vows, the vow of priority. And that's what we'll be talking about this morning, the vow of priority. God is one, spouses two. Now, the next week, we're going to be talking about the pursuit. And the pursuit, a lot of times in relationships, or when we first see that person that we're attracted to, we'll go after them, and we'll pursue them, and we'll do all sorts of things, like get flowers and write poems and all this nice stuff, and take them out to dinner, have a nice romantic dinner, and whatever else it may be. And we'll keep pursuing and keep pursuing. And whether you are the male or the female that pursued in the relationship, you know that there was this pursuit that went on. A lot of times what ends up happening is, in the pursuit, when the marriage happens, sadly, the pursuit stops. And when the pursuit stops, it starts to get all messed up. So we're going to be talking about why it's so important to pursue your spouse. And then partnership. We're going to be talking about once you, this is week three, we're going to be going and looking at the vow of partnership. And we're going to see how we function biblically in the marriage as far as relationships go, and what it means to have a partnership and work together and move on together, and when two become one flesh, and what that actually looks like in the relationship, in that partnership that you have. And then in week four, we're going to take the vow of purity. And we're going to learn about how important it is to be emotionally pure and spiritually pure, and for that purity to overflow in not only the immediate relationship that we have, but all the relationships that we have in our lives, day-to-day life. So these four vows are ones in which we're going to wrestle through, but this, the vow of purity, of priority, this vow of priority is one in which I think we often get confused on, mainly because our priorities are all screwed up. Pretty simple, right? But in Genesis, let's read this again. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother. Some of you ladies may be sitting there going, my husband still hasn't left his mama. What is wrong with that man? But for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother. All right, here is the actual wording. This is Hebrew. Azab. To loosen, relinquish, to let go of what you were holding and commit to something new. You hear that? And commit to something new. So, not that you are not committed any longer to the mother and son, or mother and daughter, or father and son, father and daughter relationship. You're still committed to that relationship, but now you moved on to this new relationship, and this new relationship takes a higher priority than the past relationship. Yeah? So as it does, you leave mama. You leave daddy, but you're pursuing God and pursuing the relationship, and that relationship will become incredibly strong if this happens. However, a lot of times, that leaving part is not happening how it should. Here's the vow. Are you ready? Let's try to say this together. And those of you that are single, listen. You may pray for a spouse, if you don't have a spouse and you desire to have a spouse, be praying that God will introduce you and bring forth a spouse that is pure, that is growing in faith, that is a woman or man after God's heart. that is someone that is truly pursuing God. But let's try to say this together. I promise that God will be number one priority and my spouse will be my number two. Let's do that one more time. I promise that God will be my number one priority and my spouse will be my number two. That's a tough vow, but a very important vow, and one in which can radically change relationships. Because I would argue that if the marital relationship is strong and stable, then all the other relationships begin to have a new strength to them and a new balance to them and a new hope in them. And some of you may be wrestling with a marital situation. And maybe it may be strained and hard and difficult and frustrating. And maybe you've recently been divorced. Maybe you've been divorced for many years. Maybe you've had struggles. And maybe you're having struggles now. Or maybe your marital relationship is an amazing bliss. Why are people laughing? But maybe it is. And maybe God's got to introduce us to something new. And maybe some of us without a spouse and don't foresee ourselves having a spouse, God can fill that role. Do you agree with that? He's the father to the fatherless. He's the husband to the widow, the wife to the widow. He is the God above all gods. He is the only God. He is the one God that can set us free from any hurts, any pains. And we will have pains and sorrows in this life, because in this life we will have troubles of many kinds. I didn't even hear an amen to that. Nobody wants troubles, right? But let me tell you, in the midst of troubles and struggles and difficulties, those are the times in which God can most readily show up. And some of us that are going through pains and afflictions right now may say that I don't see God showing up. Or maybe you may say, I do see God showing up quite powerfully and quite profoundly. And I've never really seen God in this way. And I've never seen the power of God at work in my own life personally, purifying and renewing and revitalizing my faith. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So there's this loving our spouse. And then there's seeking God first, not second. Seek God first, but seek God first. So when we seek God first, God's one, spouse is two. Major things begin to take place in our lives. And we begin to see a new hope. Some of you that are struggling in your marital relationship right now, some of you that are, it has a lot to do with the priority. It has a whole lot to do with the priority. So this week, I shared I'm going to be emailing some prayers. So if you are single, if you're married, pray daily for God to be first in everything you do in your life. Everything. Not just the small things, the large things, but everything. Pray that God will be first in your day-to-day this week. If you are married, pray with your spouse. And in what I'm going to email you, the 7 days are going to be divided. And in the email, you will find that the prayers are meant to be prayed with your spouse. And you may say, I've never really prayed with my spouse. I'm kind of scared. That's all right. See what God does through that. So, one of the things that falters us as people that follow after God, it's that we haven't made God number one. It's kind of simple, isn't it? Doesn't that sound too simplistic? And I think that we may go, but how? How do I do that? It may be some radical steps for you. It may be some simple steps. It may be turning off the computer for a week, shutting off the cell phone. It may be turning off the television. I don't know what it is for you. You know what it is for you, though. I think all of us could sit here and write down some things that are taking precedent over God. But I would say this, that whatever that is, God's crying out and saying, here I am. Here I am. Are you ready to move ahead with me? Because when you got me, it's going to be an amazing ride. And it may be tough, but you'll discover freedom. You'll discover hope. You'll discover joy. You'll discover peace. You'll discover life change. I want us all to just imagine what life would actually be like if God is number one. And some of you can imagine it because you're living it. But if we live like that, people are going to think we're weird. I promise you that. What is wrong with Kobe today? Have you ever had anybody say that to you? You're like, yeah, but not about God. But if we're truly following wholeheartedly after God, we're going to be different because we're called out to live in the world, but not of the world, right? We're called to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And part of the transformational process means we're going to be different. We're going to come out different. We're not going to be the same. So part of putting God first means that there's going to be some transformation. And there's some of us sitting here and standing here right now, right? That we don't like change. I know it's true. And change can be very, very difficult. But I will say that when God grabs hold of our life and begins to pluck out this and this thing that we've been comfortable with and grab this giant piece of baggage and take it from us, we go, oh, I was safe with that. I was comfortable with that. But it was hindering us from being able to be free. God, this chain feels good on me. It's been a heavy burden over the years, but man, I don't want it to break off. It's too comfortable. Some of the relationships that we have need to be broken because they're completely having us neglect God. People can do that. And you may say, that doesn't sound Christian. Well, then what is? Then what is? What does it look like to be Christian? What does it look like to be a follower of Jesus? It's a lot different than some of us are living our lives right now. Ask yourself that question. Am I being transformed? Am I being refined? Am I being a light to the world? I'm going to share this one story, and then I'm going to conclude. On our way here, driving here from Rhode Island, My son said to me this morning, he had a friend come over for a play date, and Kelsey had two girls over for a play date. So they were over playing yesterday. And Troy says to his friend, "Are you a Christian?" I didn't know he said this until we were driving in the car. And he said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "What's that?" "I don't think so." And the boy said, "No." And Troy said, "Well, I am." And he said, "That's why we pray." "If my boy can do that," he said, "he's nine. Why are we so scared? If he can actually talk about things of God." Part of transformation is conversation as well. It's not just the lifestyle change, because the lifestyle change brings forth conversation that's different, right? Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which will build each other up, right? We even got to think about our thoughts, our words, what we're saying. It's not all about pressure. It's about freedom, but His grace is sufficient, and our actions do the fruit when we live our lives. The fruit is what shows that we're following the way. And I wonder if we display that. Let's pray. Lord, this life throws so much stuff at us. God, sometimes it's overwhelming. But Lord, I ask, oh God, that You will enable us to discover You in the midst of confusion, to discover You in the midst of pain, to discover You in the midst of joy, to discover You in the midst of hope, to discover You in everything that happens in our lives, Lord. Father, I ask that Your joy would overflow in us. Lord, a lot of times we confuse happiness with joy, but Lord, I ask that You allow us to discover joy, because joy does not leave us. Allow us to discover that contentment that is in You, that hope that is in You, that peace that is in You, that rest that is in You. Lord, I ask, oh God, that You will reign in our hearts, that You will be number one, Lord, that You will be number one. In the name of our Lord, amen.